broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, all bringing you the Morning Rush live on this beautiful Thursday morning.
Can you start saying my name first?
Why?
Why?
Why not?
Okay. That's no. No. Yeah. No, we're not doing it. Not doing
just
that.
Be glad we're saying your name.
Yeah. You should be glad you got in the intro.
Yeah.
So, but no, maybe one day, Nick. Maybe one day. So, next time. Though.
No, not even one day.
Okay. And hey, that's the boss
not
talking.
Not even one day.
That's the boss talking, and what he says goes. So, appreciate everybody listening. I brought up the poll question on Twitter, and it was on Facebook, of will you be rooting for the SEC teams left in the NCAA tournament? We have over 300 votes. 59% of the people say they will be rooting for the SEC.
No, 59% of people say they will be rooting for Texas A&M.
Okay.
Because
yeah, you're right.
I know they're rooting.
Yes.
I know 0% of that 59%
is rooting for Kentucky.
I agree.
But the fact that they're even still rooting for A&M, it's not like A&M's a likable type of program.
I mean, I just think that it's one of those things that it makes your conference look better. If you Arkansas
makes you feel better about losing,
right?
Yeah.
Look at all these teams we lost to.
Arkansas beat A&M, so as far as A&M can go. But even then, though, I kind of look at it on the reverse, and it's just like Arkansas beat A&M. If you ask me right now, who'd I rather have, A&M's roster or Arkansas's roster, I'm going with Arkansas. And if A&M goes to a Final Four with that team and as many problems as they had throughout the year, and they can go to a Final Four, and Arkansas can't get out of the first round and, in fact, loses by 20 in the first. Like, that just makes me even more upset, because that could have very well have been Arkansas.
Obviously, tonight you get two SEC schools. A&M plays Michigan at 6:30 or so tonight, then Kansas State and Kentucky around 8:45 or so tonight. So, going to be a fun night of watching, the four games tonight. But I'm with you. I don't think there's any Kansas State fans, or a lot of Kansas State fans listening, but there will be tonight, I think, in our audience, pulling for that game. So, is there a game tonight, guys, that – is it the Loyola Chicago Nevada game? I don't think a lot of people are going to be as interested. It's fun to talk about Cinderella. I don't think anyone wants to watch it. Do any of these games jump off the page to you guys? Because, I'll watch because it's March Madness and it's basketball, but none of these games are like, man, I can't wait to watch this particular game. None of these games tonight do that for me.
No, not at all. And you mentioned the Cinderellas. People like watching David versus Goliath. They don't like watching David versus David. Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. That's basically what it is. Now, if Loyola, Chicago was playing Kentucky, maybe. But I don't think anyone really cares about that game. I guess if I had to choose one of them, I guess the Texas A&M Michigan game, because I feel like Kentucky's going to roll Kansas State. And Michigan, I mean, they're a 30-win team. They're a 3-seed. Texas A&M's kind of going on this run a little bit. I guess if I had to choose a game, that would be the one that had my vested interest.
If Kansas State beat Kentucky, that would be a bigger upset to me than UMBC beating Virginia.
Really?
I mean, in Catlanta? In Atlanta? Yeah. Are you kidding? I'm exaggerating there a bit, but I just think Kentucky is going to have a huge home court edge. Am I right about that, Nick?
Oh my goodness, it's going to.
Kentucky's going to have. It's going to be like a home court for Kentucky. How many Kansas State fans are traveling to Atlanta?
Right,
not going to be many.
Well, and not only that, but I'm sure that you were able to go to an SEC tournament or two, Tommy, when it was in the Georgia Dome. I'm talking, I mean, it seemed like it was more Kentucky fans in you know, in the Georgia Dome than Georgia fans, or more Kentucky fans there than they have at a home crowd.
It was like the,
in Lexington.
It was like the old Southwest Conference days when Arkansas would take over Reunion Arena in Dallas. That's what it was like. Yeah. And that's what Kentucky does. And that's what they're going to do in Atlanta. And because the other teams are, of course, Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada that are also playing there. Well, how big a fan presence are they bringing down there? I imagine Kentucky's going to own that place. And for, you know, it's going to be like a home court edge. I would be shocked for Kansas State to pull the upset. And then I guess the shocking thing, I mean, Kentucky's going to have to beat themselves not to go to the Final Four here. Calipari's got to be licking his chops. I mean, you look at the other three teams in this regional semifinal and final. Kentucky is going to have to beat themselves to not go to San Antonio.
Well, you know, John Calipari came out this yesterday and said he doesn't want his team drinking that poison, though. Just like, you know, he talked with Nick Saban. Yeah. I guess something about poison in these teams. But, I mean, he has to say that, and I get it. But like you said, Tommy, you have to beat Kansas State. Then you have to beat either Loyola, Chicago, or Nevada to get to the Final Four? Like, come on. If at this point, if Kentucky doesn't at least make it to the Final Four, I'll even go as far as they don't make it to the national championship game, because if they make it to the Final Four, they're either going to have to play Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, or Texas A&M. And I like Kentucky in a big margin against any of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, and for a coach that did all the complaining about his draw and his place on the bracket, for a coach that spent all of his time before they threw the first basketball in the air for this tournament not liking how he thought he was treated by the committee, he's got the easiest path I think you've ever seen a blue blood to get to the Final Four.
One of the easiest I've seen.
Paved in gold, man.
One of the easiest paths of anybody to get to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Forget blue blood.
You're right. Exactly right.
It just,
but it's unfair that Kentucky seems to have this kind of path.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. They don't get him any breaks, Tommy. Come on. I mean, let's be honest.
As a 5 seed. Yeah. You know, as a year that supposedly they're down at Kentucky. And I agree. They haven't had the year that they've had in other times. This is not one of Coach Cal's best seasons. They may end up winning it all just as a, you know, because they survived, you know, just survived in advance.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it, I forgot which year it was, but there was a time where Kentucky was like a 7 seed, 8 seed, and they made it to the Final Four. Was it the year?
The year that Pelfrey had
beat
them.
Yeah. Pelfrey beat Kentucky.
And he took that victory lap.
Yeah.
I'm going to text him and ask him if he remembers that victory.
Yeah, because I remember that. I was like, what? How in the world? So Kentucky, again, it's just about matchups. But it also is funny, too, that like Kentucky's, in my opinion, their best team that year where they were, like, I guess, what was it, 38-0 going into the Final Four, but then ended up losing to Wisconsin.
Ended up
not winning it. So, that's the NCAA tournament for you. It's just funny how things play out there. But, no, it's definitely been just that side of the bracket to where, I mean, Kentucky can literally fall backwards into the national championship game. I was really looking forward to seeing Kentucky and Virginia play each other. I wanted to see it'd probably be a very low score, one of the lowest scoring games in the entire tournament because both teams.
I don't
are good
ever want, man. What? I'm just telling you, I don't ever want to see if Brett Bielema coached basketball, he'd coach it. He'd have a team like Virginia.
Yeah, they wouldn't make the tournament.
True. I don't ever want to see Virginia ever play anything, and I am always so excited whenever they get out of the ACC tournament early or when they get out of the NCAA tournament early, because at the end of the day, sports is about entertainment. And, yeah, you're winning, but how entertaining is the style that Virginia plays? It's not very entertaining at all. Basketball, we want to see threes. We want to see points. We want to see dunks. We don't want to see at halftime and it's 17-27. Like, that's just not what we want to see.
It kind of reminds me of having a team in football to where they just go in I formation every play and get 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Now, they may win. It'll be a 10-7 final, and they'll probably get a lot of victories and all that, but it might put everybody to sleep.
Almost like the old New York Jets and Baltimore Raven teams that couldn't really score, but their defense was just
careful about my Jets.
Was was so strong and so tough. But, I mean, and that's
when
where
Mark Sanchez was the quarterback.
And that's where a lot of people missed the boat on, and a lot of people don't figure into the equation of hiring and firing coaches on. If you are boring and you play a boring style, then you're going to get fired a little quicker than a coach that can put points on the board that's exciting, that's fun. You look at Texas Tech, and you look at them on the football scene. They haven't done much on the football scene, but they've had guys that you've mentioned as possible Heisman candidates. They've scored a lot of points in some games. They'll throw it all across the field, and it's fun. It's exciting. It's up tempo. It's fast paced. Because if Texas Tech was running a similar offense to the one that Brett Bielema has been running or had been running, then he'd be fired as well.
Yeah, and if you even think about dual threat quarterbacks, or you can even take the comparison as far as when you were just basing it on strictly excitement factor. Ryan Mallett was an extreme. He made pocket passing exciting just because of how much of an arm he had, and he could throw it 80 yards without even thinking about it. But if you compare him and Matt Jones as far as excitement goes, Matt Jones was one of those guys where you held your breath anytime he started running outside that pocket.
Yeah.
And
anytime he took a snap.
Yeah.
He took a snap. Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Anytime he took a snap, he didn't hand the football off. You knew at that point anything can happen.
Yeah. And now Ryan Mallett was a better quarterback. He had more success, I believe, on the field, and his team had more success. So that was all well and good. But if you had to take it between those two of who was more exciting to watch, I mean, Matt Jones wins every single time just because of the explosiveness he has.
Well, and not only that, but, I mean, who was more exciting to watch than Matt Jones just in general?
Man. I mean,
there's only a handful of guys.
Michael Vick.
That you can even bring up just in general, you know, anywhere on the field.
Johnny Manziel would be
on
one.
Any side of the football.
Yeah, Manziel is excited. But you notice that they're all dual threat guys, the guys that just had that explosiveness. Now, Matt Jones probably had the
part of it, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Matt Jones was ahead of his time, really. That was before the dual threat type of quarterbacks start taking over college football and football in general. But either way, excitement is what sells tickets. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Hey, going to be an exciting weekend at Oaklawn, and the season's starting to wind down. The Arkansas Derby just a few weeks away, and the best thoroughbred racing in the nation continues this weekend at Oaklawn in Hot Springs. Beginning Saturday, you can start registering for your chance to win a brand new boat and truck. Get all the details when you get to Oaklawn, and race fans can enjoy the action from the infield this weekend as well. And if you're an Arkansas resident, download that Oaklawn Anywhere app in the App Store and iTunes, or if you've got Android, they've got that as well. iPhones, iPads, you could watch and wager from your device and enjoy Oaklawn that way. Just use the promo code APP, that's APP, and get a $150 bonus, guys, and visit Oaklawn Anywhere and sign up right now. Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play and only minutes away.
Nick Saban, will he retire? When will he retire? Or is he just going to dominate college football for the rest of our lives? Who knows at this point in time? But we'll get to that and more on the other side. It's the Morning.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft in studio with you. I'm not going to announce you first, Nick. It's not going to happen.
I didn't even say anything.
Now you're shaking your head at me in disbelief and disgust. Listen, the boss man said you don't get to be announced first, and what the boss man says goes.
You just
got to
earn it.
Oh, you got to earn it.
You got to earn it. You got to earn it.
You need to make a list of what Nick needs to do to earn his name being named first.
Win a Twitter poll. That's all you did to get this job. You didn't earn it.
Yeah, I won it.
You didn't, so.
Hey, isn't that earning it by winning? I didn't do any politicking for it or anything. I didn't even throw a like or retweet or anything. That was a legitimate poll, as legitimate as it gets.
Unstacked ballot.
Hanging chads.
Yeah, non-win aided type of poll. But appreciate everybody listening in. Tomorrow, Mountain Coasters. Tommy's going to be on location up there in Branson, and I'm kind of jealous of it, Tommy.
Yeah, we're going to be at spring break. We're spring breaking here on the Morning Rush. Going to be live in Branson, right across. If you're on 76. If you've been up lately, you've seen them working on and revamping this attraction. But I'll tell you exactly where you'll see us, and you'll see our affiliate ESPN 104.3 will be out there and have their vehicle and everything set up. right across from the Walmart there in the big shopping strip that's on 76. There's a McDonald's and a Walmart. Right across the street is the Branson Coaster, the Mountain Coaster, and it's North America's original double alpine coaster. This is an awesome ride. Your kids are going to love it. You can stop in. They got some March Madness deals through April 2nd and get a couple of coaster rides, a couple passes to the Mirror Maze, and a free mini Branson coaster basketball, only all for $30 when you get the Slam Dunk Pass right here for spring break. They're open 10 till 10. All the details online at Face Amusement. That's faceamusement.com. We'll be there in the morning on Highway 76 in Branson. So if you're headed to Branson, you're in Branson listening today, be sure and stop in and say hello in the morning from 6 to 9 at the Mountain Coaster, at the Branson Coaster on Highway 76 in Branson.
I'm looking on Twitter, and Razorback Memes tweeted us and said NC State with Coach Jimmy V would be his best Cinderella story, saying they only won the tournament, only got into the tournament because they won their conference. So, that'd be a good pick. I think it's an interesting question because just in my lifetime, because I remember when Gonzaga, was it 99, maybe 2000, when they really came on the scene and became the Cinderella story that everyone fell in love with, and then they changed coaches and all that. But then Mark Few took over, and they're still getting there. You think of George Mason. Yeah. I guess Butler. That was a good one, too.
Well, how about that UConn? I mean, UConn really won the Cinderella, but they had to win. They won their conference tournament and ran all the way through after a good conference tournament run. I mentioned Villanova over Georgetown.
Yeah.
They were kind of a Cinderella back in, 85?
I believe so.
There's been some great ones. But for Cinderella to really, kind of win the ball, you got to win it all, right?
Yeah.
So NC State and Villanova, and UConn, too, would be teams that you'd have to put on that list. The Florida Gulf Coast and UMBC, which maybe now that could be on a list of greatest upsets of all time, but to really be the best Cinderella, you got to go and win the whole tournament.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And the thing about, like, I look at Butler, not only I think it, again we can't consider it the same concept as not because they didn't win it all, but making it to the national championship game and being a 2 inches away from at least sending the championship game in overtime against Duke. Losing your best player in Gordon Haywood and then returning to the championship game the next year, I mean, that's worth something. That's pretty impressive, and that just shows you how great of a coach Brad Stevens is. But, I mean, that's a pretty big storyline, too, in itself.
It almost seems like you take a little bit away from it, though, because you do have such a great coach who we see how great he is at this point with what he's able to do in the NBA, and you had a pro. Actually had two pros because Mac also got drafted.
That's right.
And played a little bit. So it seems as if the better stories are whenever a team doesn't have a couple of pros, or because after they returned again and then now they're a staple in the tournament, it's almost like they weren't really a Cinderella. We just didn't know what we were looking at.
Yeah.
At this point,
we just saw the name Butler and said, "Oh, Cinderella."
And said, "Oh, yeah, they're not going to be very good. They're a smaller school." And now we take a step back and we look, and they had two pros, an all-star, and maybe the best coach in the world.
Yeah. And it's very seldom that you see these Cinderella programs or these Cinderella teams have their coach stay, at least for the foreseeable future. Because that's when they get to that point. You think about all these great teams. I mean, Mark Few, I guess he wasn't really the original Cinderella story of Gonzaga, but he stayed at Gonzaga for a long time. But, think of Shaka Smart. He moved on to Texas. Brad Stevens moved on to the Celtics. The name escaped me, but the head coach, George Mason, who's now at Miami, he moved on from George Mason eventually. I mean, you just have a lot of these situations where teams do really well in the tournament and they make a storyline, but it also helps the coach out get a much better job for much higher pay.
Oh, that's a great point. You talk about what's on the line. Well, you take Porter Mosier, for example. Porter Mosier takes his team to the Elite Eight. Now he becomes one of the great coaching prospects for any opening out there. I mean, that's exactly what these while their programs get elevated, when you're at a mid-major program, these coaches, these are huge games that are on the line today and tomorrow and this weekend. I mean, that's how Arkansas ended up with Stan Heath, right?
Yeah.
You took Kent State on a deep tournament run, and you know, you are a hot commodity, and you got to leave if you're those guys. So, you know, if you're one of these coaches that's coaching like Porter Moser, a Missouri Valley team, and you've proven some success there in a very good conference, but it's a mid-major type conference, you know, these are the chances for you to go from making hundreds of thousands or low millions, you know, 1 point something million, to making 2 and 3 point something million dollars a year. These are huge games for you and your family and your future.
And hindsight's really funny, too, because you think about when Kevin Ollie won the national championship at UConn, he was getting rumored to be like the Cavaliers' next head coach. Like, people were just drooling over the guy. And then now you're looking at it, and it's like, kind of avoided that.
Well, and not only that, but I remember people texting me when Pelfrey was here at Arkansas, and I was there, too. And people texting me, hey, you think Pelfrey's going to stay? Or do you think that we're going to be able to keep Pelfrey?
Yeah, hopefully we can keep Pelfrey. Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't go to, Kentucky. Or I think Oklahoma State was open at that time, too.
Man.
And,
Could you imagine what would Kentucky look like right now if they would have taken Pelfrey and hired him? I mean, because, like, I love Pel. He's a nice guy. But I mean, like,
what would
they
have been worse there? Billy Gillespie? What would have been worse for the Kentucky program, Gillespie or Pelfrey?
Gillespie, because at least Pelfrey was sober.
Yeah, exactly. At least he wasn't having the problems laying off the sauce. Yeah.
At the games and stuff. So, yeah.
And you know what? You brought up Billy Gillespie. I know he was at a program like A&M, but he had that one team. Was it AC Law that was on that team? And they went undefeated in the Big 12. I think it was something like that. But, I mean, they were really good. He was a hot commodity, went to Kentucky, and honestly was probably going to go to Arkansas if the Kentucky job wasn't open.
I'm not a fan of hiring coaches that just get hot at the right time. Like, if you're in a mid-major conference and I need you to win the regular season, I need you to have done that a couple of times, I need you to have upset at people a few times, but just hiring Stan Heath because he got hot at the right time and he took Kent State to the Elite Eight or however far he did, just doing those type of things, I'm not a fan of that for a lot of these lower tier high major programs.
Looking forward to the next.
It didn't work out for Arkansas.
No, not at all. And I mean, it's one of those things that maybe Arkansas dodged a bullet in the long run of not getting someone like Gillespie in there.
Well, I mean, and you say it didn't work out. It may have set Arkansas back 20 years.
Yeah, like even more so. And it also makes you think, what if Dane Altman would have stuck with the job instead of bailing after 1 day or 2 days or whatever it was? Who knows? I mean, it's just funny to play the hindsight game and see just how little small decisions or little small events like that can change the outlook of a program for years to come. That's what makes college sports so interesting as far as that goes. On the other side, we're going to be joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. But first, this from Gaston's.
Yeah, I can't wait for the weekend to get here. Going to be heading over to Gaston's White River Resort, taking in the final few days of spring break, and wonderful way to take the kids and really do something different. I mean, how many of you guys and gals out there listening, parents out there listening, are tired of the kids always being stuck in front of a gaming device, an iPad, a computer, and your kids y'all never seem to do an activity anymore that doesn't involve an electronic? You know, we're all stuck looking at our phones. We're all stuck looking at a tablet, a computer. That's how we seem to find our enjoyment anymore. Well, you know, at Gaston's, they provide you the perfect place, the perfect setting, the perfect venue for your family to come together and get together, not be staring at a phone all day, not be staring at a tablet, and your kids will love it. Kids really love nature when they're exposed to it. Kids love outdoor activities when they're given the opportunity to do it. And at Gaston's White River Resort, you can do just that. 870-431-5202. They'll put together the perfect trip, whether it's a cabin for four, you got a family reunion coming up, you got 15 or 20 getting together. They can accommodate all of that at Gaston's White River Resort. And not everybody going to be sitting around looking at their phones all day and all weekend. You can get out and you can do some great trout fishing on the gorgeous White River. 870-431-5202 to make your reservations. If you can get there before the month of March is up, you can still save 30% off your lodging at Gaston's White River Resort. Looking forward to a great weekend at Gaston's. Hawkins.com for all the details. And be sure and head over and enjoy some great family time soon at Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time every time.